Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Jamie is joining us today with two books that she chose for what reason? Why do you want to talk about them together?
Together. Okay, so these books are, it's kind of not what I've done lately. They're light fiction, easy reads, beach reads, summer reads. But I chose them together because they have something in common.
And what would that be?
Thank you for asking. They both have a death in the first chapter, maybe even the first page. So somebody dies in both.
For some reason, right, I was waiting for you to say that they both have mother-in-laws in them.
I wonder who the victim is.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a guess. So the two books, let me just tell you. The two books are The Mother-in-Law by Sally Hepworth, and then the other one is called Evie Drake Starts Over by Linda Holmes.
Okay.
So the mother-in-law is, they're both in our fiction section, but the mother-in-law has a little bit more of a mystery to it. Mm-hmm. And then Evie Drake is more light chick lit-ish. I know we've had a lot of conversations about what chick lit is and if it's good or bad, but it's really an easy read with a little bit of romance in it that's in our fiction section. So no one is murdered in the Evie Drake book, but someone dies on the first page.
Okay. They also, the covers look very similar.
They have a lot of blue in them, yeah.
Blue and green.
Yeah.
And I will say The Mother-in-Law looks like a mystery book. Like, it's got that sort of cover on it.
So I was sort of surprised that one, that we shelved it in fiction, although that was probably my decision originally. We can move it to mystery, but it really is a crossover book. People who read fiction, it could be called a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
But it actually, in truth, reminds me of the writing of Leanne Moriarty. The author is also from, it's either Australia or New Zealand, but I'm just going to say Australia, and you can look it up and correct me later. And I listened to it, and it was done in a nice accent. So in that sense, it also reminded me of a Leanne Moriarty book. But the premise of that book is it's family. Lucy's the mom. She has three kids, and one evening they're at home. The husband's out at the grill, and there's a knock on the door, and it's the police. And as we know, that's never good for the police to come at dinner time. And it turns out that her mother-in-law has been found dead.
Dum dum dum.
Bum, bum, bum. And originally they say it's a suicide. It seemed like a suicide. She had even left a note, and she was dying of cancer anyway, so kind of the idea being she just gave up and didn't want to suffer and went ahead and killed herself. But of course that wouldn't be a good book. So it digs back and forth. Diana is the mother-in-law and Lucy is the daughter-in-law. And it goes back and forth in alternate voices between Lucy and Diana.
Even though Diana's dead?
Yes. Well, of course, you know, books can do that.
I know.
It's not the ghost of Diana. It's the past. So it goes back a little bit into the past from the time the son first brought Lucy home as the girlfriend. And Diana is a really chilly character. She's not one of those mother-in-laws that gives hugs and kisses or presents or
Because she's a ghost?
No, she's alive for half
Sorry.
The book.
Sorry, the book. I couldn't resist.
All the chapters she narrates. Lucy's mother died when she was young, and so she's always, of course, wanted that mother figure, and Diana does not step up and fill that role. So it's like one of those situations where someone's dead and you're maybe only a little sorry.
But we all have somebody like that.
But it does go in depth in the book as it goes along. Their relationship evolves, and you really honestly don't know for a while whether she did commit suicide or if Lucy offed her or if any of the other characters in the book might have offered.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Towards the end, I was like, I had narrowed it down to two possibilities, and I was not surprised with the outcome, but it was a compelling read. I really did enjoy it.
Let's switch gears and talk about Evie Drake.
So I'm going to correct you right there, as she would if she was here. Her name is Evie, like Chevy. Evie, like Chevy.
I was looking at those double Vs, and I was very unsure.
Yes, her full name is Eveleth, and she was named after a town in, I think, Minnesota.
I was about to say, that's a pretty unique name.
Yes, yeah. Eveleth, but it's Evie, like Chevy. And in the first chapter of this book, she is about to leave her husband, who's a very handsome, wealthy doctor, and she's got her suitcase packed, and she's putting it in the car and going down the driveway, and her cell phone rings, and on the other end of the cell phone is the hospital, and she thinks, oh, it's the hospital where he works, but I gotta get out of here. But nope, he got in a car accident and it is the hospital where he died. So she's right on the verge of leaving when she becomes a widow. So that creates a little bit of, you know, sorry, not sorry there.
Like, yeah, it spares her a divorce.
It does. It's very interesting. She has life insurance money, but she won't spend it because she has a lot of guilt Well, yeah. This shouldn't be mine anyway. I was about to leave you, but no one knew what their marriage was really like on the inside. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is, yeah. Then the big part of the book is she's, you know, alone in her house, and she has like a garage apartment, and she leases it to a, I'm laughing when I say this, she leases it to a Major League Baseball player who's down on his luck.
Of course.
And of course he's hot and she's probably gorgeous. And of course their relationship evolves. So it sort of turns into a romance.
So is this one shelved in romance or in fiction?
It's in fiction. And the interesting thing, Lisa Coker, who catalogs the books here, you know, that means decides what section they go in. We had a talk the other day about moving, maybe not this book in particular, but a certain type of book out of fiction and into romance. And I thought about it and I said, no, these are not the books that romance readers would read. They're like light romance. It's more about the plot development and the character development than the actual, you know, getting it together parts. Those are Lisa Laredo's books that she will do on this podcast. I, in fact, had to laugh. There is the first time that Evie and the baseball player get together. That's a euphemism. The scene, I was curious to see how far they went, how much detail they used, how graphic they would be. And it was actually super well done. I think there were two lines. And one was, she remembered that she gasped, and she remembers wiping sweat from his forehead. And that was like the full depict of this scene.
It was like a fade to black, it but was, literary.
Yeah, it was fade to black. And I thought, that's a really... I was impressed, particularly because I was listening to that one also. And I remember being in my kitchen at the time making dinner, thinking, I'm not in the mood to hear the graphics. And so, no, it's implied instead of described. But she did a really nice job. I was very impressed with how she did it.
So do you think the same reader would like both of those titles?
Yeah, I'm the same reader. And I did. I did and I do. They're just those light, like, I don't know what people call them, beach reads, take them on an airplane. You know, there's enough of a plot that you keep reading. More so with the mother-in-law, that was a little more compelling because it's a whodunit or was it suicide kind of plot. So you always do want to sort of finish those.
With the helping of family drama, which always makes it a little bit more drama. Intriguing.
And I love books that do flashback, past and present, and who do alternate voices that you're getting different pieces of the story from.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, this book is not like my favorite book of all time or it will change your life, but it is a solid read. The other one is funny. I'm about 20 minutes from being done. not 100% sure I need to go all the way to the end because they've pretty much wrapped up the plot points. Now they just need to tie the bow on it. It's not, again, not life-changing. It's just kind of a easy, interesting vacation read. And if you're in between things, I had just read a nonfiction book called Three Women, which I'll do in a different podcast because it's amazing. But it was heavy, heavy, heavy. Mm-hmm. Lots of violence, lots of sex, lots of heavy issues. And I felt like a palate cleanser. And these were good. Mm-hmm. I don't finish most books I start just because I don't. Lazy like that. But these I did. So that says something.
They're a good recommendation.
They're at least 3.5 stars. So yeah.
They're at least on the I'm Finished shelf.
I did actually finish these books, yes.
So we're going to get into our game show portion. So
do
I guess.
Want to do 2 questions per book?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Beach music, I guess.
Yes.
Perfect. And we'll go ahead and start with our rapid fire questions.
Yes. So for Evie Drake Starts Over, how would you describe the author's writing style?
Oh, wow. I hope she's not listening. No, it's basic. Like, this one is a straightforward, there's no technique like the past and present. It's done in the third person.
Okay.
Which I actually thought about the other day when I was driving. I'm really pay attention to books, whether they're done in the first person or third, because it really determines how far you get inside the character's head and their motivations. This one is in the third person, which I thought was interesting. So there's sometimes a lot of misunderstandings between the characters, and you never know what they were really thinking when they were doing it. But it's just a very plain Jane, simple read, but also good. Reminds me of Catherine Center, if anybody's a fan of Catherine Center.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question about mother-in-law, and then I guess we can switch
which
we ask questions about. So my question was, which character would you like to meet in real life from the mother-in-law? Is there anyone that you just want to have, like, an honest-to-God conversation with?
Oh, that's a
good or bad?
That's a great question. And honestly, I think it's a very minor character, which is Diana's husband, the grandfather, the older gentleman in the book, who dies of cancer, I think. No, not cancer. He had Lou Gehrig's, actually. But what I would ask him is, because Diana is very, very cold in a lot of ways, so I would ask him, like, what he saw in her at all. Like, how all these years did he put up with, like, living with an ice queen?
Yeah.
Because he's a great, great guy, and he balances her really well, but she's kind of, she's very misunderstood, but she also is very hard-edged and cold. So I would
Was there something secret about her?
Yeah. I might ask him out to dinner if he was still around. We could hang out. But yeah, I'm curious about his choice of a wife. And again, he's a minor character. He's just a family member who passes away innocently. He's not part of the murder plot.
What would you say in the mother-in-law the main character's biggest flaw is?
So there really are two main characters, the Lucy and Diana. And Diana, I just said, was an ice queen. Lucy's biggest flaw, I think, and this is probably true of any like psychological thriller, is failing to tell the truth, right? Because they need some lies and deception to make these plots. But it's one of those, you'd like to yell at her. This will be a movie, I'm almost positive. It would be probably a really good HBO 6-episode miniseries.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon, if you're listening, you should probably buy the rights to this if you haven't already. You would want to yell at her.
Okay.
Just because she could have made a lot of this easier had she told the truth from the beginning. So I would say that.
Okay. So for Evie Luck Chevy, because she's an unhappy wife in the beginning of the book, what drink would you pair with the book?
Oh, I don't even need to guess on that. Evie drinks a lot. So she drinks.
Happens a lot when you go through a divorce.
She drinks bourbon and pretty much straight up. She doesn't have the decency to mix it like a Coke, like a real girl would do. Yeah, she drinks straight up bourbon.
That's because she's a cool girl.
Yeah,
Cool girls don't mix their drinks.
And there is a scene in the book where she overdrinks at her own dinner party, which is something I think that mortifies me. And like listening to it play out.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. Like, please stop yourself. Please stop talking. Please. And you just never want to have that moment, especially at your own party.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be a gracious hostess, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. I don't want to paint her out like she's a drunk, because she's not. But she enjoys her bourbon and a glass of wine now and then. And then she's a lightweight, because at her party, she gets sloshed. Sloppy, sloppy drunk.
All right. Okay. I think that was all of our questions.
That's all of our questions for today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.